Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Romance Bookmark with Renee Bernard. I just about missed the intro because I was having a great time talking to Elise Faber in the Risa, because we have that bond. I can tell already we have that bond.
Yeah.
So it's all good. But we were comparing notes because I have girls, which makes it sound like I, you know, like own them in a pen out back. But I have girls and you have boys.
I do. They're 2 and 4.
Okay, let me just make you say that again. They are 2 and 4?
2 and 4.
Okay. Wow. Okay, yeah. You'll have all my sympathy now. Mine are 5 and 8. So I'm actually out of the 2 and 4. Yeah, but I was there. Yeah, I know. I remember. I remember that zone. But, boys, I'm going to ask, because we were kind of touching on it. I think I've given my girls room to, you know, bash each other with swords and do, you know, whatever gregarious, sporty things they want to do. But I seem to have an inordinate amount of sparkle in the house and pink stuff, and I don't know how that happens. Do you find that the boys just are gravitating towards it's just all guy stuff? And
yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've always made it available. We do have our share of glitter glue at the house. Sparkle seems to be, I think, gender neutral, right?
I believe it is. I believe it is a color officially now. Crayola made it a color. Sparkle.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah.
My younger one is so crazy about trains and has been since he was a baby. And so I just think that, like we were talking about, some of that I think is like genetic, you know?
It's hardwired. I don't know. Boys just look from the outside looking in. I just think moms that have boys are just always way fitter than I am, and they just look so much more healthy and lean. And I think it's from, I don't know, there just seems to be a lot more physical stuff happening where I just seem to be able to throw, you know, craft supplies and some, you know, pink tulle at it, and I can step back sometimes. So that's how I'm.
We have a lot of wrestling in our house, you know. A lot of wrestling and chasing and running.
Not a lot of destruction. Well, I don't want to say that. Not that there's been some destruction, but we're over it now. We're not gonna, you know, we're not dwelling.
You're in the home stretch.
No, mine went through a tagging phase, like a kid in a gang, you know, where they just have to put their letters on everything. And have you ever, Elise, are you anticipating the tagging phase?
I can see it happening if they had laughed us, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you brace yourself. Because those Crayolas, those washable crayons, yeah. God bless them.
I need some magic erasers, I guess, right?
There are some surfaces where that does not apply. I'm just letting you know right now.
You know from personal experience, right?
Yes, of course. From massive parenting errors where you turn your back on the ocean. So I want to hear about Phoenix Rising because, and everybody, it's elisefaber.com, and that's Elisefaber.com, and it's Faber. Like Saber, but with an E-R, not an R-E. Never mind.
Yes.
Don't pay any attention to anything I just said. So I have to ask, the picture of the guys destroying the couch with flour, is that, are you?
Those were not my kids, thank God.
Okay. Woo! Woo! Oh.
I think that was on one of those like Facebook things that goes around with like, parenting fails, you know?
Do.
Like,
you had it
baby
right
flour.
There. Oh, front and center, Elise. It's front and center. And I was like,
that's a good thing about Facebook, right? It's like, don't leave baby powder down because this happens. And you're like,
I don't want to tell you about our baby powder. Well, okay, I will. Mine, when they emptied the baby powder, they made piles and they hid them.
So you just find them months later.
Yeah, so you'd be like, God, this just smells so strong and I don't understand. And then finally you'd lift up the area rug because I'm obviously such a great housekeeper. But you finally lift up an area rug and there would be this massive pile of baby powder.
Oh,
or you'd lift up the teddy bear that's, you know, like the decorative giant guy in the corner and he's sitting on an entire thing of baby powder. Like, you know,
goodness.
Really? Seriously? Okay, yeah. But it, like little cocaine, it was horrible. It looked like cocaine. It was like in piles through my house. Not that I would know.
You don't put on Facebook, right?
Cocaine
you
know, pile. Never, never, no. But the hiding it was hilarious because I thought, how do you know if you're 18 months old or, I mean, little, still super little.
Yeah.
But, like, they know enough to hide it. They know enough. Like, they're like, I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to be doing this. So I'm not going to not do it, right? Like, that would be, that's one doom. That's a bridge too far. But I'll hide it. I'll hide the sedative. So that's what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with super villains.
Oh my goodness, so they're going to be sneaking out of the house.
I don't know. I'm hoping they won't, you know, put that together, you know, 2 + 2. But so far, they're not that good at hiding it. I mean, obviously, you know, they're not.
You know their tricks.
But they're headed, but the instinct to be clever is pretty funny. So I'm like, oh, okay. All right. That's good for you. Okie dokie. Okay.
Okay.
You have to tell me.
Yeah.
About the book.
So Phoenix Rising. Yeah, Phoenix Rising is the first in a series, a trilogy about Dark Tree, and it comes out October 7th. And the second one, if I finish it in time, is going to be out in January. right?
No pressure. There's no pressure there.
No pressure.
No pressure. Now, are you self-publishing or are you with a publisher? Or what are you doing?
I'm with an indie publisher. It's Bluetooth Publishing. Yeah, and
so
it's, been really
January
great.
Deadline is kind of, that's kind of set then, because, you know, when you're self-publishing, you know, you can just, you can throw a dart at the wall and pick it, or at least that's what they tell me, but as a self-publishing author, I seem to find my deadlines are even more brutal, so I'm not really sure.
You set yourself up. I mean, you have had a lot of releases, so that's probably a pretty intense schedule for you.
It's sick. Something's wrong. Yeah, it's really wrong. But this is the first, and then the next one is January, you said, if the stars align and everybody's nice to you and it's all good. And then I love the TBA. I love that you've got From the Ashes, you've got a novella, it looks like, TBA, and then Fall of the Phoenix, TBA. That's brilliant. I like TBA.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's in the works, but, you know, actually they put pen to paper, I guess, a little bit.
You have enough going on, Elise. You really do. And
right?
May I remind you, Mr. 2 and Mr. 4 may have plans for you as time unfolds here. So just, you know, there you go. But
Everyone says you have more time when they're in school. I'm sorry, everyone says that you have more time when they're in school. That hasn't been the case, right? But
that is what they tell you, yes. That is what they tell you. But what no one really wants to tell you is that that actually kicks in when they are both in school.
Yeah.
So
I guess we'll get there
at some point. Yes, yes, sadly. Isn't that terrible? Like, start thinking about where can I park this child? Like, where, what preschool will take my little, At least for me, it was like, we're rural in I'm in Northern California like you, but we're a little more rural. So it's not like I've got, you know, 16 preschools to, you know, oh, let me make my selection. It's more like there are two. So you literally, like, it's like a natural disaster. You're literally just waiting for somebody else to drop out. Like, just...
Oh, boy.
Isn't that horrible? But you're like, oh,
yeah,
somebody move. Or somebody... Yeah.
We have a little more selection here, but... So that helps, you know?
Yes. Right? You can put it in guilt-free. I had that whole survivor guilt thing going on, and it was terrible. Poaching women and... In supermarkets looking, you know, to see if we're thinking about moving, or if I heard them talking about job opportunities in the Bay Area, I'd be like encouraging them to do that. If I saw that they had a child of a comparable age, it's like, you should go for it.
I think you'd
it.
Have problems if you started giving, like, real estate listings or something.
Have you heard of Zillow? Hey, let me connect you. I'm a writer. I need to work my resources. This is really important.
Yeah, right?
So, okay. So, you're ready. Dark, sexy, spicy stuff.
Yes.
All right.
So, it's dark. Dr. is my heroine, and she, when she touches someone, she sees how they die. And so, you know, it's pretty much a story about her. What Dontri wants more than anything is to just be normal. And then she's like shouldered with this godlike power to be able to sort of manipulate death and see how they die and make it better or worse. And so she is basically like trying to figure out, you know, she's like, she wants to be normal. And so if she, the power obviously makes her intrinsically abnormal. And I think sort of, it's sort of a journey of her discovering that it's okay not to be normal. And that, you know, sometimes normal isn't all cracked up to be. And I think as a reader, I like that, you know, going on a journey with them. And of course, there's like a sexy hero and there's some really bad guys and it's pretty action packed. There's an explosion and a plane crash in the first couple of chapters. And so it just sort of hits the ground running.
Okay. So you did start it off with a bang. I saw you make a joke about that, but wow.
Yeah, I did. It's quite literally with a bang. Yeah.
But I'm going to ask, I mean, the dark. It's kind of, I mean, so it is it, so with magic, if you've got magic and all these other things going, it really is an alternative. You're sort of created in a different world. So it's is that considered paranormal or is that considered dystopian or how would you, if you had to
like,
put it in a bucket?
Like, I think it's sort of like urban fantasy, but like with a little bit more paranormal romance tied in. You know, the characters are going to have happily ever after. That's what I like to read. That's one that I want to write.
Right.
There's definitely world building, you know, there's a whole like type of magic, it's elemental magic and there's several levels and there's the good guys and there's the bad guys. So there's, you know, she gets sort of thrust into that world where she has to learn, you know, all these new rules. And so, you know, I think if I'm categorizing anything, urban fantasy with a touch of paranormal.
It's tough. It's tough when you're doing something that's hybrid though. And people want you to kind of just put like one little, you know, label, I mean, you know, especially online where they're like, okay, what is it? Pick from this drop-down box. Am I the only person that has the drop-down box go? And I'm like,
I don't know what
all
I
of
want,
the
right?
above? Is there an all of the above? You know, and there isn't. There is not. I asked. I did ask. And there is not an all of the above category. Just FYI, in case you were looking for one. So.
I think that that's where, like, you know, Outlander was interesting, you know, because it's like so same thing as sort of genre crossing, and so you know, it's made that a little bit more acceptable to sort of toe the line between two.
It's it's like I don't know what is it. It's time travel. It's just it's like I don't.
Right. Is it romance? Is it time travel? Is it just, you know, historical? Who knows?
Okay, so what do you think? Time travel for a long time that was actually quite the phase with romances, and then it's like they just. It's as if they disappeared into the mists of time. But I think there are readers that still absolutely love that particular, you know, trope. Do you think it's coming back? I mean, with Outlander and the popularity on Stars and this whole revival, do you think we'll see more time travel?
I feel like, because, you know, there's that movie, too, that just came out sort of recently, right, where the by the makers of Love, actually, and it was like a time travel where he – goes back in time to meet her. I don't know. I think we've been popping up in a few other places. You know, usually if it's in the movies, you see it in books, too.
And hope. I mean, I don't know. There's something about me that's kind of nostalgic for that. So I always like to pick your brain and find out if you feel the same way. And
it's hard to say, but yeah, I imagine that there'll definitely be a few more now that owners getting so big.
I hope so. I mean, but I have to say, this Phoenix series looks really fun, everybody. And it's elisefaber.com. And this first one, Phoenix Rising, comes out October 7th. So just a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, just a couple weeks. We're doing the cover reveal on the 29th of September.
Oh, so we're in the final phase. That's it. I can't believe it. Well, I really love that you did this. Like, so last minute. Oh, and the piano music tells us that we've got just a minute to say goodnight to our listeners. And everybody... this has been fun. You're going to have to come back. I will make you. I'm notorious for making people come back. And
well, thanks for having me. Even though it was last minute, I had so much fun.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, everybody, thank you for tuning in to the Romance Bookmark. And I will see you next Tuesday night for more romance and more books. And who knows? I'm just going to go check my baby powder supply and make sure it hasn't run off anywhere. Not saying anything, but... All right, good night, and thank you, Elise. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody, and have a safe week out there. Talk to you soon.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.